of all the sports teams that exist. Certain countries have a big one or two, but we're proud to say our podcast is about the biggest team in the entire world.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
This is the World's Team Podcast. All about the world's team, the Dallas Cowboys, baby. We're here to redefine what it means to be a fan of the gridiron game. It's not just America's team anymore. Nope. We're taking that star-studded pride and spreading it across the globe. Each week, we dive into all things Cowboys. From game analysis that'll have you on the edge of your seat, to reactions and all the latest news. Whether it's free agency frenzy, draft day drama, or injury reports that make us want to hug our lucky jerseys a little tighter. We're bringing in fan groups from all over the place, from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. Everybody gets to share their two cents on America's favorite team.
Here we go.
America's team, Mexico's team, world's team, my Dallas Cowboys.
And now your hosts, Paul Stewart and Mike Poland.
What's up, Cowboys Nation? Welcome to another episode of The World's Team. Remember, it's not just America's team, it is the world's team. I am your host, Paul Stewart, and as always, as ever, I am joined by my co-host. You can find him on bloggingtheboys.com, Mr. Mike Poland. How are we doing, my man?
Yeah, it's another beautiful weekend. We're one weekend closer. It's like 1 month and 2 weeks until the draft, so...
I was just about to say, for anyone new here on the World's Team, Mike is obsessed with off-season, NFL draft, college football, you name it. Obsessed is an understatement, so he's in his element right now, ladies and gentlemen. But yes, a lot has happened with our Dallas Cowboys this week, obviously. So there's been re-signings, there's been restructures, and obviously there's been the sad news we got to see Zach Martin officially retire and have his press conference there. So I figure we would just start off the show and send our big love to the Gob, number 70 himself. He's just been phenomenal for the Dallas Cowboys. He will be, without a doubt, a shadow of a doubt, be in the Hall of Fame at some point later down the line, I think.
Yeah, you would think so with his statistical accolades. You know, when you look at the number of Pro Bowls, All Pros, the fact that he had more All Pros than he did holding calls for his entire career. Do you know what I mean? And I think one of the things, whenever I think of Zach Martin, like if he was to say, just give me one image of Zach Martin, and the one that always comes to my mind every time, it is the Zeke run against Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah, back in 2016. I remember that.
Yeah. And you've got Zach, you got Travis Frederick over here, and then just Zach Martin pancaking the crap on the right hand side.
Yeah, basically he was pulling as the guard, moving up to the second field, and absolutely tore that Steelers defense a whole new... I don't even want to say it. But
but it's like that's the single image I have when I think of Zach Martin. And you're just like, everyone always says, you know, oh, that run, you know, solidified Zeke because it was the game when, and I'm like, you've missed 99% of what made that. one of the 99% parts was Zach Martin.
Like, and this is the thing, this kind of goes down to the success, like, and I'm going to swing this post over to, like, and I don't want to talk about this team in some capacity. When you look at, like, the Philadelphia Eagles right now, they've always had a good offensive line. Didn't matter if it was DeAndre Swift or whoever that may be, like, even LeSean McCoy back in the day, like, they've always had a good above-average offensive line, and obviously... the past couple of years, and even with the loss of Jason Kelce, they've had a good O-line. When you compare that with Saquon Barkley under the offensive line at the New York Giants compared to the offensive line at the Philadelphia Eagles, it's going to make a huge difference to your game.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, like we've talked about the you know the Zach Martin thing, the whole time with Zach Martin as well. When you think back, that was supposed to be Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that year's that draft that year. Yeah. I was at my friend's house that year, and everyone that was running about me, like, and we were like a lot. Some were Ravens fans, some were this, some were Steelers fans, etc. And they were like, "Oh, you're gonna go for Johnny Manziel, right? Your new quarterback." I'm like, "I mean, ideally, no, because I'm always have been a big Tony Romo fan.
Yeah,
like anything just to help him out, I would have been happy with. And thank God we did, but." To the untrained eye, a lot of people were upset. But now, in hindsight, as years have went past, they were like, you know what? I was wrong. That was a great pick. Even the NFL analyst, even Nick Mayock. Is it Nick Mayock?
Mike Mayock,
sorry. Had us going for Johnny Manziel, and I'm like, ugh, you know? So... But
to translate, mind you, that I mean, we've got a Johnny Manziel in this year's draft.
I was just about to say that, mate. Yeah. So for anyone is not sure who we're referring to, picture it this way, ladies and gentlemen: you're going into the NFL draft with a more larger than life personality as a quarterback. Who's rumored to go in the first round, but he's also rumored to go into the second round. If you can take a guess who we're talking about, leave a comment in the box. But yeah. Got a wee notification there, mate?
Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
It feels like it's going back to 2014. Was it 2014 or 2014 we drafted Zach Martin? Yeah, it was. It was 2014. Yeah. 2013 was Travis Frederick. So it feels like it's that again. And well, I'm just going to say it straight. We're not drafting a quarterback first round. There's no point.
No.
So many different needs for that. But we'll talk more about the draft later on this show, but I want to jump back into what's actually has been happening with the Cowboys.
Let's go back.
As news stands, as of today, Osa Odizu has re-signed, which is great. Wanwei Thomas is re-signed, great for special teams. CJ Goodwin has re-signed, great.
Perfectly fine.
I think.
I'll give that a yes. Especially... when you think CJ Goodwin at the back half of the season, the special team plays he was making.
Yep. And finally, we have a defensive end, or is he more of a free? He's kind of a hybrid in a way.
The place, yeah. I think they're still trying to figure him out.
Yeah, so we're talking about Tyrus Wheat. Tyrus Wheat has signed a one-year contract coming back to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, mate, give me a quick overview of what you think about the contract so far.
Osa Odighizuwa, so 80 mil for 4 years, so 20 mil per year, easy to figure out. Quick math there for you guys.
I don't know why I've got that song in my head now.
Yeah,
it's like quick maths.
What was his name? Big Shaq.
Big Shaq, that's it. Oh man, what a song that was. Yeah.
I might listen to that later.
It was quick maths. Oh my god! I'm gonna play that later on tonight. I'm telling you.
Comedy.
Moving on.
Moving on from Big Shaq. Let's go to Big Osa. $20 million. I mean, people will argue about the cost of it. Unfortunately, finding a talented pass rushing free tech in the NFL is really difficult to find. I mean,
yeah,
like the two, I mean, you say finding a talented quarterback is also difficult to find. But for me, the two hardest ones to find, the most tricky, is talented pass rushing three techs and cornerbacks that can turn over the ball. They are like really hard to find. Cowboys have both of that with Deron Bland. You can talk about Trayvon Diggs, whatever. But you've got
that's a different kettle.
That's another. I mean, we could do a whole show on Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah,
but I think Osa was like personally, and I even put a tweet out in it, and I should retweet it to say like, you know, eat your heart out or whatever. But I put, and I forget which game it was. It was as we were coming in towards the end of the season, and Osa was just bossing it at this point. And I was like, Osa's priced himself out of Dallas. He's played that well. Dallas can't afford him at this stage.
Yeah.
I mean they have. Great.
I mean, for me, like, don't get me wrong. Like, statistically wise, I wouldn't say he's top tier in terms of, like, getting sacks or anything. But what thing that is very rare where it comes to, especially interior defensive linemen, is consistency. Like, yeah. Osa has been very consistent in his rookie contract, from day one. Like, he hasn't really had a really stinker of a game. Like some games might be a little bit below average, but the mass majority of games, he's been there. He's still making good strides. He actually has, if it wasn't for Osa Digizua, our run defense would be probably even worse.
Yeah.
So yeah,
definitely. I mean, like you say, statistically, right, from week 9 till the end of the season, and I put this on a tweet. So amongst defensive tackles from week 9 onwards, Osa Odighizuwa led the league in pressures.
Aye, so pressures, yeah, that is like he knows how to get to the quarterback, which is great. But a lot, for me, it's like I'm just thinking how, like, just your typical stereotypical fan would think about.
I know what you're saying. Just look sacks
and sacks and tackles for loss is what they're interested in. But it's not see all end all. Is pressures. You're absolutely right. If a defensive tackle or defensive end can create so many pressures to the quarterback, it's going to force that offense to cause more mistakes. And the thing is, someone else in our defense is going to get the credit for like making the pick, like interception or getting the sack because the quarterback might decide to like run out the pocket because Osa's coming essentially. So
that starts from the front.
Yeah, so that's why he's vital. So a lot of people don't really dissect that film that much. They just kind of say, like, look at the stat sheet. It's like, oh, Osa got a stack. I really like him. No, like, even still, when he's not getting the sacks, just watch what he's doing. He's creating the separation. He's beating the offensive line. He's getting behind the line of scrimmage. He's putting pressure on the quarterback to make fundamental mistakes.
Yeah.
So...
And, you know, I look at the Dallas Cowboys and they've churned out a lot. No Linval Joseph. I can't see him coming back, right?
No.
But you look, you've got Mazi Smith, Osa Odighizuwa. Then after that, they've managed to keep Justin Rogers, who was their 7th round pick last year. And that's it, a defensive tackle. Like you imagine, right? If Osa Odighizuwa isn't signed, so you're going to be potentially starting Mazi Smith, who's your nose tackle, and Justin Rogers, who was your 7th round pick last year. As I mean, really, essentially, he's another nose tackle. He's not really a 3-tech. What are you doing at inside defensive line? You've got literally nobody. Like, the Cowboys still need to develop this defensive line. They still need more pieces because the numbers are just down. There's nobody. Carlos Watkins is gone. Linval Joseph is gone, I would say. You know, I can't see them coming back. Yeah. So, you know, you look at it and you go, there's just not enough numbers there. say, for instance, they didn't sign Osa and we went into this and you go, all right, we'll push Justin Rogers into this sort of 1-tech sort of place. It would look really weird. And that would be the case. Well, let's say Mazi or Rogers got injured. You literally have a blank spot. You're going to be playing a NASCAR defensive line because you're going to have to put defensive ends in to play 3-tech.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree. Like, and just kind of looking overall, like for Brian Bing, who's the assistant defensive line coach, he's got a lot, like, and with Aaron Whitecotton as well, both of those guys are going to have an uphill battle, but they're going to be challenged. yeah, to, for what we've got in our roster right now, to try and get them up to speed, essentially. And the question is as well, like, do we still need a defensive lineman in the draft? Absolutely. So.
Yeah, definitely. I think they need defensive ends, defensive tackles. Still, all that needs organizing. What Osa does, I think, in terms of a draft sense, is we don't need to make that an early pick.
No. Yeah. And the good thing is as well, this draft is stacked with D-line, like all across the board.
Three techs.
Not so much one tech, I would say, but I think if there's one there, BPA, best player available, I can see it happening there. But anyway, moving on, we've all, like I said earlier, we signed Wanwei Thomas, CJ Goodwin, and Tyrus Sweet. And I mean, I'm pretty happy with those guys coming back on board, especially for the special teams scenario. Yeah. It's definitely going to help our special teams coordinator Nick Sorensen a lot. So, and Carlos Polk, who's his coordinator as well for assistant for special teams. So there's that. But the other big news as well is Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have their contracts restructured. So that does help us out when it comes to going into the free agency. Although Jerry supposedly has said we're not kind of looking into free agency, but to me, it's all smoke and mirrors.
I mean, we always say this every year. People ask us questions about some of these moves and some of the things that, you know, Jerry will say or have said or what coaches will say. And I say it every year. It's like, this is lion season. Whatever they are saying, you have to ignore. That's just what I think, you know?
It's funny that you mentioned that, though, Mike, because when you look at, like, so what Mel Kiper, the so-called NFL draft analyst, has said, he's basically saying, I've been told this, I've been told that. It's like, you ever thought to yourself, Mel Kiper, that they could be telling you absolute lies?
Or
how many times has Mel Kiper ever got it right? Seriously.
Once, which is kind of what pivoted his career. Well, yeah, I mean, it was an argument that really shot off his career.
He's more famous for actually getting Mel Kiper anyway? Yeah. He's more famous for that one moment. I think it was the Indianapolis Colts back in the 90s. That's what he's most famous for being absolutely roasted in live television.
He'd be like, I was just telling the truth. But anyway, going back to the Lions season and saying these things, what you've also got to think is these people who are in the mainstream side of it all, you think they're only repeating what, like, say, they might get a call from Jerry, and Jerry be like, oh, this is our plan, da, 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 da. Jerry's only going to tell them, the same as the other 31 GMs and coaches, they'll only tell these guys things that they want them to repeat. Because it's all smoke and mirrors, it's all lies. I always say, at this time of year, I very rarely listen to what's going on, like these podcasts and everything. I like listening to the analytics of things, like scouting reports. But if they say, like, I've got from my sources that the Cowboys, I'm like, forget it.
So, okay, yeah.
You're off.
Yeah, a good friend of ours, Jeff Kavanaugh, really made a good argument, right? Like, talking about these analysts, it's like, how are you being analytical about players when you're actually being told by sources to make your pick? How's that being analytical? You're more of an insider than an analyst.
But even though, as the insider, you're the insider that's the conduit to whatever they want the fans to hear. They're not going to tell you their true intentions.
They're not analysts. If you're an analyst, you would actually go based on your own personal opinion about certain players, and that's the argument our good friend Jeff Kavanaugh, go and check him out on DLLS Sports. He's absolutely spot on in that regard, and I totally agree with it. Because when you look at some of these analysts, who we've got is drafted and stuff like that, I'm like, hell no, that makes no sense. Yeah. It's like that. But anyway, but if there's one value I do is fellow content creators within the Cowboys community, and like so Jeff Kavanaugh, and probably the only other main media sources, like people that actually dedicate to actually analytically look at players. I know PFF have their ways of doing their measurables a bit questionable at times, but the actual podcast of doing drafts is actually quite informative, I quite think. So they do break it down. Why do you like this player? Why it's a good fit? Not based on rumors or whatever and stuff like that. Or
Yeah,
none of that. So
like PFF, you find you have to take with a pinch of salt, but I like it because it is very analytical, and the people they have on there are very analytical. That's where it comes in handy.
Even though it comes with as criticisms, but they do a hell of a lot of work.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. But I mean, in all of it, I like CJ Goodwin, Juanier Thomas. I mean, I was messaging Juanier and telling him to get his brother into Dallas. you know, Tyrus Wheat, I mean, we still have yet to see his college production translate into the NFL.
We haven't seen his coming out party.
Yeah. You know, he's always been buried on the depth chart since he's come in. But, you know, the dude at Mississippi State was extremely productive. I mean, a complete tackle for a loss machine. You know, he's not going to get sacks, but as a run defender, he was fantastic over there. But, you know, as you say, we're still waiting for his coming out party. We'll have to wait and see. I mean, having more defensive linemen isn't a bad thing at this stage.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I always keep saying it, that to win the football game, it's always within the trenches, where it add more O-line, add more D-line. And that seems to be the talk of the talk. But, but it comes to, like, so I was just saying earlier about Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb have restructured their contracts, that does help us out substantially.
Definitely.
And not to mention, we still don't know how we're going to deal with the thing with Zach Martin's contract. Obviously, he's officially retired, but it's how we do in terms of the financials of, like, how is it going to hit us in the cap, all that type of stuff. Like,
do they want to post that,
that still remains to be seen, how that affects us going into this offseason, going into free agency and stuff like that. So, but at least we've now freed up some money to actually bring in some players. And I'm hoping Jerry does, because there is a lot of holes that we do need to fix, and especially, and I keep saying this for the past couple of weeks now, we've got a brand new head coach, which came with hot criticism, not on Schottenheimer himself, but on Jerry Jones. Jerry needs to make this a success. He needs to. And the reason why I say that, he needs to do whatever is necessary to give Brian Schottenheimer every opportunity to be successful, from bringing in players that he wants from free agency and the players that he wants in the draft. If he doesn't do anything in free agency, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, this season is going to be a struggle already. It's going to be an absolute struggle. So, and obviously we still don't know in terms of, I'm talking about Brian Schottenheimer, we don't know him much as a head coach. But like I keep saying, the team that he's brought in, like Sorensen, Elbifus, the offensive coordinator, Clayton Adams, etc., and our offensive line coach, where is he? Connor Riley, who's worked with Cooper Beebe. This is all good. It's giving me the thumbs up. I'm liking what I'm seeing. I just want to see how that's going to translate on the field. So,
they need to all be on the same page.
Yeah, so we can't make any assessment on Schottenheimer until we actually see some football, essentially. Yeah. But for the front office, they're doing the right things, as I see right now. Not doing as much interviews. They're being active in terms of fixing the cap. They're likely to go into, if they do go likely to go into free agency, that's three, and obviously four. Don't know why I went awkward with my fingers there.
That's all right. It looked good.
Yeah. Well, not really. No, with these chubby fingers. but four would be in, is make sure that we draft the necessary needs. And like
not taking gambles.
Yeah, not taking any gambles. Like, so there's like, there's still a lot to ride with Jerry Jones to make sure that Schottenheimer has the best opportunity to go forward and bring success to this football team. So, there we go.
Yeah, no, and you know, going, I agree with you that that so far you go the Schottenheimer thing. I mean, Jerry was heavily slated for that.
Don't get me wrong, mate. I slated them as well because everyone wanted Dion, and everyone was like, oh, if we get Dion, then we would have got his son. And I was like, I don't want Johnny Manziel 2.0. In case you're wondering, that's who I'm talking about.
You've given it away now, but
I know. I mean, I've given it away a bit, but people might comment before I announce that. But I tell you what though, if you guessed, I'm talking about Shadur Sanders. If you said Shadur Sanders in the comments, congrats, you were correct.
We won't do a giveaway on that.
Yeah,
we do the giveaways when we go to Dallas.
Oh, but, that's right. Yeah, we'll talk about that near the end of the show.
Sure. Yeah, what I was going to say though is in terms of. Like you're saying, like, so Shai was a weird signing, but then Shai puts together this team, this dream team.
I wouldn't call it a dream team yet.
On paper, on how it looks.
It's a good thumbs up. I think it's a step in a good right direction.
Correct. So then free agency is the next tell. And for me, this is like me trying to use foresight and trying to think like Jerry Jones, is that you think Jerry's had a massive slate in. He doesn't do his GM podium at the combine, and you're like, interesting. Doesn't do his chat from the bus,
That's a thumbs up from even that one. Yeah, less Jerry on the microphone, the better.
It's a weird move. So then you go, I think personally, Jerry now is like, you think I made a bad decision hiring Schottenheimer? Okay, so then he goes into free agency. Like, he does these restructures to get money ready, right? Then free agency hits, and he goes into free agency and gets a selection of players. And you go, ooh, he's made some moves. Because what Jerry wants to do is when we get into the season and the Dallas start racking up wins, he can go, told you I was right about Schottenheimer all along. You were all wrong, and I was right.
Jerry would love that for a fact, to get that 100%. Praise. Like, and that's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily about, oh, we signed this player. I think it's more down to who Schottenheimer wants. Like, it might be a player we haven't even thought about in free agency at all, and it might be the best fit in terms of Schottenheimer's eyes or Matt Ilbefitz's eyes. Mm. So that's something we need to take in consideration. So it's not exactly who's the best player available on free agency. It might not be a best fit. And that's why coaches are like, might pass up on that opportunity.
Yeah. I think they'll get wide receiver, linebacker.
Wide receiver, linebacker, definitely, I think. Who knows? There might actually be a one tick out there, perhaps, I think.
They could look to do that to kind of like get themselves with Marzi.
Yeah, and that kind of gives us more freeway to kind of, or even in a offensive line. That's another one. And that is one of the biggest needs. So kind of now moving on to your favorite part of the show, Mike. We're going to be talking about the NFL draft, the combine. Up and coming college superstars, essentially. So obviously, folks, the NFL Combine has concluded last week there, and we've now had some time to reflect, and we're going to kind of list out a couple of names who we were quite impressed with at the Combine, and just in general as a player, who we like. Hit me with it, mate. Give me your top five. We'll go in tandem. You go first, starting from five, then I go, and vice versa.
All right. And I'm going to literally, I'm not going to apologize that I'm being a homer because this guy is from my team. I really think Shamar Stewart from Texas A&M, defensive lineman, blew it out of the water. A 10.0 on the RAS score, so a perfect RAS score. Fluid on the drills, smooth as you like. But the dude absolutely annihilated the testing, the athletic testing. It's insane. A guy of his size, so he's over 265 pounds, runs a 1.58 10-yard split, which is phenomenally fast, and runs a 4.59 40. I mean, you've got a guy that's close, that's nearing 270 pounds, moving at you at near, so that 4.59, that puts you practically very close to 22 mile an hour. It's like 21 miles an hour. That is an insane to see. If I was a quarterback seeing that coming at me, I mean, I'm going down on the floor and just praying that nothing breaks.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not sold on Shamar Stewart, me personally. I mean, I know he is a good player, but there's other defensive ends I would rather to have. I actually rate some players that are graded lower, higher than, like, than Stewart.
I get it.
But everyone has their different ways of grading things and stuff like that. But for my number five player, I'm going to say Maxwell Hairston, the cornerback.
I like it.
Look, was the fastest. He was the fastest player in the combine, obviously. Obviously, when you look, and that's the thing. I don't really watch too much of cornerbacks in particular, because my background is D line and O line, playing back here in the United Kingdom. So where my main focus is. So, but Maxwell Hairston just kind of like really set the bar on him, like showing his speed and his agility and his movement, I thought. And I took a little bit of time to kind of looking at his tape and that. Like, and you know what? He's definitely pushed himself up the board, I reckon, for sure.
Yeah, and he was sort of a fringe first-round guy. Just like, I say fringe, he's like...
Early second. He was definitely an early second, but he might easily push into the 20 to 25 range, depending on how teams view him. Like, this whole talk about offensive linemen going up and down, which we'll talk about that in a wee second.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like, you look as well, Hairston as well, 6 interceptions is last two years at Kentucky, but 3 pick sixes. That's a ball hawker. And when you look as well, You tie that with a guy like Deron Bland, and cornerback is a very big sneaky need. You think he would fit in a sort of a rotation piece. Jordan Lewis is probably more than likely moving on. But I mean, this dude can clearly catch. He's very good at reading quarterbacks. IQ, athleticism, competitiveness, all of that's there. That's what you want in your cornerback.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. All right, Mike. Help me with your number four.
Okay, we'll go backwards. All right. So I mean, Stewart was my number one, but it doesn't matter, it's okay. Let's go backwards then. All right. So if we go backwards, so Stewart would be my number one. My number five would be linebacker Jihad Campbell from Alabama.
Oh, you have on his number five. All right, okay. All right,
he's okay. My fifth favorite from the combine. So he ran a 4.5 240, and he's 244 pound.
Okay,
an absolute beast. So, and like, you know, here's the crazy bit: is he wasn't the fastest linebacker at the combine. He was third fastest, but the two guys that run faster than him were like 10 to 15 pounds lighter. So you'd expect him to run, you know. But it just goes to show where he was. His on-field drills, again, looking very, very silky, very smooth. The linebacker core for the Dallas Cowboys, when you break it down, it's very... I mean, like, so far, we're looking at Damone Clark and Maurice Leifu. Damavion Overshown is kind of out. Eric Hendricks is gone. So you're left with that. Damone Clark really didn't play that much last season for whatever reason. Why? We don't know why. Leifu is an up-and-coming talent, but you need numbers at linebacker. and we don't have any. Jack Campbell, it's just, he fits right in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I personally, I think people, because people keep saying Eric Kendricks this, Eric Kendricks that. You got to think, Kendricks is basically tied to the hip with Zimmer, and Zimmer's gone. So yeah. You kind of...
That was the only, that's the only reason he came back. He came to Dallas is because of Mike Zimmer.
Like, yeah.
And he was great for us, and I wish Eric Kendricks all the best if he does, if he doesn't re-sign or whatever not. But you're right, like, we are very low in stack in terms of numbers for linebacker. Like, Overshawn is coming back from injury. We don't know his expected due date in terms to come back on the field. And we've got what? Leifu and
Clark.
And Clark, yeah. My mind's just went an absolute brain fart there. So we're really slim, essentially, when it comes to linebacker. So linebacker is something we do need to address either free agency or in the draft. And having a guy like G.I. Campbell on this team would make so much sense. Okay, so my number four is Nick Amanawori, the safety.
Okay, yeah. Bossed it. I mean,
he was phenomenal. I was so impressed with him. Like, and it's not, and like I said, it's not often for me to talk about the secondary. I don't pay that much attention to the secondary. Like, for me to, it caught my attention. I was like, oof. And again, watching this college football tape, I was like, damn. He just knows how to be at the right place at the right time, causing hits, making interceptions, being so disruptive against offenses. I like him a lot. Like, man. So, yeah. So for me, I was very impressed with his combine. I really like his game tape. And there is even talk about him now. Might actually leap into the first round as well.
I get it. I mean, look, you're looking at a safety year that's 6'3", right? That's tall. But he has a 43-inch vert. I mean, that's a guy who's getting up there.
Yeah.
All right. Crazy height. And he had the speed to go with it, Paul.
All right, Mike. Hit me with your number four.
All right. That would be Jihad Kamal Adan. So my next hit would be Jade Barron, the cornerback.
That's kind of where we've kind of went nearly all defense at the moment.
Yeah. You know, we're talking about cornerbacks. I'm watching Barron. The guys had an absolutely fantastic combine. But what I'm looking at is more specifically when it was in the drills. And I'm going to do a rhyme here. Looking at the drills and seeing the skills. And he plays in Texas. He plays the star role, which is like this hybrid nickel corner role that Texas have over there. We just spoke now about Jordan Lewis being on the move. You know, that are they going to sign him? Are they not? Right. If we were to say Trayvon Diggs, just for the sake of argument for now, he is going to be finding an easy cornerback one. That's one outside corner. You've got Deron Bland playing the other side. Who have we got playing the slot corner? At the moment, Kalen Carson. Didn't exactly have a great rookie season.
Yeah.
Struggled. Right. Here's a guy in Barron from Texas that will slot perfectly in. Complements what we've got on the outside. Fits the slot. Extremely physical. Loves tackling. He's very, very versatile. If in a pinch you need him to go and step outside because of injury, which we saw with Diggs, he can step out and take that on. It's not going to be great. It's not going to be better than if he's playing from the slot, but he can still do it, just like Jordan Lewis.
All right, sweet. All right, for my number three. So this one's going to be a little bit left field, but this guy's not going to be a starter. I will say that. He's not going to be a first-round pick or not, but I'm going much further back in the draft. Okay. I already kind of briefly mentioned to you about him before. Yeah. So for my number three, and I was really impressed with him at his combine, is running back Donovan Edwards. And a lot of people will be like, oh, wait, he's the backup to Caleb Mullins. And I was like, yeah, he may be, but he had the most reps at in terms of the bench press for bench running press, backs. Yeah. He ran a 4.44, which is still pretty good for a running back. Yeah. And when you look, like, the one thing I do like about him, he's purely designed to be that third down, short yardage running back. Mm-hmm. Like he would be your typical type of like power back. Like the only downside, like the only thing I didn't like about him, I will say, is like is him his ability to move upfield. Like, and it's just a lack of speed to the second level, which we kind of saw like in the passing drills and stuff like that. So, but the thing that impressed me is like that's something we could use very well in our offense, especially when we struggle quite a lot when it comes to short yardage. Like, don't get me wrong, I think we will draft on our RB number one, whether that may be Hampton, maybe Gente, maybe Caleb Johnson from Iowa. Who knows? Maybe one of those guys. Maybe something completely different. But to really complement the run game more, because obviously the numbers on our run, we've basically only got Deuce Vaughn, so we do need to stack up on it. What more to bring a bit of a more diversity to this running back core to complement different players is get an absolute powerhouse and like said, Donovan Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, the frame I feel with Donovan Edwards, which is why he's so low in a talent-rich running back class. He's like a seventh round, late day three type guy, right? And I think it's because his style of play, he wants to play like this powerhouse running back, you know, that workhorse, but he doesn't have a frame for it. It does look disjointed. When we were watching the video, I was looking at that. It does look slightly out. And he has been injured as well.
Well, that is the other thing as well. He is coming back from injury, but when you say he doesn't have the frame for it, I believe he does.
You look at it, he looks okay, but I just think he's slightly, for this type of running, I'm not saying he doesn't have the frame for running back, but the style that he wants to play.
No, I disagree with you on that one, bro. I disagree.
I see that. But the one thing I will say is, looking at some of the tape, I was watching on him early Friday morning. Some interesting explosive plays with him. There's these chunk plays that just come out of nowhere. Boosh, boosh, boosh. And then all of a sudden, I'm watching, he runs against Ohio State as well, a 75-yard touchdown, right? And you go, oof. Next play, 85-yard touchdown. Same game. And you're just like, okay, this is a home run here.
Yeah, so and that's Donovan Edwards you're talking about.
Donovan Edwards, yeah. And that was against Ohio State.
There you go.
Like, Ohio State fans will know this guy. I guarantee
you. Well, he's one of the guys on the cover of College Football, College Football for like the PlayStation. Like, I think it's him, Travis Hunter, and... is it Quinn Ellers is on it? I can't remember. There's three guys on it, but Donovan Edwards, I'm pretty sure, is the running back, the guy that's on the cover as well. So I could be wrong. Yeah. I need to fact check that. Hold on a minute. football.
Consistency is a problem with him. I like him, though, because he's got explosiveness.
Yeah.
This home run hitting ability. He can receive the ball as well. He is a catcher of the ball. You've seen that, you know, 68 career receptions playing for Michigan. And he's got the athleticism to go with it. He is a one cut back. You do see that. He's not going to make on his own. It's one cut and go. You know, me and you were watching the on-field drills. The agility, I think, right, when you first look at it, you're kind of like, he does have some fluidity in the hips, but I think it's more of that he's not that type that's going to create a lot of plays on his own. He's going to make that one cut, and then his idea is, right, now let's just go.
Yeah, All right. So that's that. Okay, mate. So hit me with your number. Number three now. Yep, you're number three.
Although I've done my one, so I'm all...
Yeah, you screwed up. You screwed up.
I apologize. So, yeah, the next one for me, Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas.
Damn it, I was going to say him. Yep.
Well, you could take the one who I was going to say next, which is a running back. But Matthew Golden, absolutely bossed it. People say, can he catch the ball? Yes, he can. He's not just a John Ross type guy who just streaks down the field. Not only did he make a high number of receptions, scored 9 touchdowns last year whilst playing in Texas, plus he does kickoff returns, does it quite effectively too. So that tells you they feel happy with how safe his hands and his catching is.
And not just that, he offers flexibility. Doesn't have to play offense, can play special teams as well. So that's good news for that way. There's multiple ways you can utilize him on this football team. No, yeah. I don't have really much else to add in that one, if I'm being honest. Like, I totally agree with that assessment.
Yeah, and you look as well, though, Paul. Brandon Cooks, more than likely not coming back. What was Brandon Cooks? He was our downfield guy. We need to replace a downfield guy with a downfield guy. There you go.
Yeah, there you go, folks. All right. Well, see how you stole my pick there. I'm gonna go running back again.
I love this guy.
This guy set the combine. In my opinion, his draft stock is gonna rise up. Is Boysen Tootin.
Yeah, he's
from class. Virginia Tech. Oh man, I don't even know where to begin with him, man. I really don't. Like, ran a 4.32.
Yeah.
Like the power in his legs, you can see like small, like maybe a wee bit undersized on the upper body, but when you look at the power in his legs, especially, and how elusive he can be with that type of like power, like of how, the way how he runs, that's very intriguing to me. Very intriguing. So a lot of draft analysts have him potentially as a fifth round, fourth round, up and down at day three, day two. But the way I'm seeing it after that combine, he's definitely a day two. He's definitely a day two guy. I think he's moved himself up to a third round at least.
Yeah. No, I agree. I love Tootin. I wrote about him on Blogging the Boys, just like that. You know, this is a guy who they could get in the third round, right? If they did trade down in the first and they get a fourth round pick in amongst it all, or however they value things, great. Get Tootin in the fourth round. If you don't, you hold fast, you pick in the first or second, and you're there at the third round pick, and you're thinking, right, let's have a look at running backs, and Tootin is available, go get him. Speedy guy, 1.49 10-yard split. That to me is so contact balance and burst are the two most important things I always look for in running back. Tootin has both. Short, squatty, but he can burst too. You get a guy who's a running back explosive like that with a 1.49 10-yard split. That guy is breezed past before linebackers have shifted across in time. That for me is great.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what number I'm on now, because you've pure confused me now. Like, so we got
one more left each.
Aye, so I'm on my number one, and you're in your number two.
I got one more left as well.
Aye, so your second favorite is what you're on, and I'm on my top.
And you're right on your top.
Okay, favorite. So I think I might be stealing yours again. I think personally,
come on,
I'm gonna say it. Offensive lineman, Armin Membo. Wow.
Blew it out the wall.
Wow. Yeah. He, to me, has blown that combine up so much with his speed. Like his 10-yard split was ridiculous. He looked so polished, like, when he was going through the drills. So polished. And
smooth. And
the thing is, though, he would be a big need.
Yeah.
Like, the situation, we don't know what's up with Terrence Steele. Like, is he
going to be a right tackle?
He has a right tackle, but he could slot him inside.
I think so. Yeah.
Like, There is other offensive linemen that did stood out to me as well, but Membo was definitely star of the show, 100%.
I agree.
So if we were to draft Membo, I would not be mad. I would be very happy with that. Very happy.
And he started as well. He starts for the Miz last season on the playing right tackle. So he's in the SEC, which have some very good, talented edge rushers. And he's standing up against them. Last season allows zero sacks and a very low amount of pressures in the SEC, which is incredible.
Yeah. Well, we do know one offensive lineman who we are big, big fan of. He did reasonably well. I wouldn't say he was the best, but he did reasonably well, made a good count for himself. And like, and this is just a wee bonus one for me. Both of us are a big fan of him, and that is West Virginia's tackle, Wyatt Millen. Now, when you look at his stats, he's given no sacks at all in his college career.
I know. And what you want sometimes from the combine is sometimes it raises the bar on some players because you go, oh, wow, I was not expecting that. But really what you're trying to do is confirm what you've seen on tape that's translating what you... And I think with Millen, that's exactly what you did, is you went, I want to see what I've seen now in games, in just a clinical environment, in a vacuum. I want to see how all this looks. And that's what the combine is. And I think
It's also a pressure cooker as well when you think about
very
it.
Much.
It's
very much.
It's how good. You compare yourself to the rest of these guys going into the NFL. Yeah. So I think for Alexa Millen,
just ticked the box.
Yeah, he ticked the box. I think he solidified himself. He's not going up. He's not going down. I think if he's there late second round, or I think he still would be there in the third round, perhaps, depending how other teams evaluate things. But by God, if he's there in that third round, take him. Take him.
I'm with you.
There's no hesitation. Take him. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
so my number two.
You're number two.
We're going backwards. So I've done my one, gone from, we kind of done like a Star Wars thing. So we start. Go back to the end and then come back through again. Yeah, no, I did. Yeah. So number two is Tennessee's defensive end, James Pierce Jr.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. His 40 time was unreal. Yeah. Hold on. Let me get him on.
I got 447, 10 yard split of 158, which is just
156
even. Wow. Even more. It's broad jump though. So you see the explosion of the speed and you go, okay, so what I want to see is how does that look screaming around the edge? Broad is a good one to do that. It's over 10 foot. 10 foot 3 inches. And you're just like, there you go. You've ticked all the boxes I'm looking for.
He's even though it was 31 inches or 31, whatever it was, like in the vertical, like the only thing, he was like fourth last among the defensive ends. But when you look compared to like Landon Johnson, he was 40.5. That's insane.
Yeah.
And Shamar Stewart was 40 on right on the dot. So Shamar Stewart's definitely got more of the agility to jump higher and like that more explosiveness in the legs to do that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I'll give Shamar Stewart's credit. Like he does have that.
I love Stewart. I think he would be great. Really good speed, good acceleration, burst off the line, times his burst as well, to absolute perfection.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a high motor player. He's this blue collar, high motor defensive end. Cowboys need defensive end. I think it's one of the big priorities on this team because, I mean, if DeMarcus Lawrence, I know they're trying to work out a deal. If they don't, that means we're going into the season with Marshawn Nealand, who was inconsistent, I think is the nice way to put it. Williams.
It's a bit unfair because he has been injured, I would say.
There is that. I mean, Sam Williams, you got question. I mean, we've spoken to Sam Williams. I mean,
he's a good friend of ours. Like we've met him several times.
spoken to him a lot. He's in really, really high spirits, really positive guy. So just laughing the whole time, you know, because he's just that happy-go-lucky type guy.
Yeah, if there's one thing I really want, I want the most, I really want Sam Williams to really come and bust and like a bat out of hell. I really do. But okay, like before the big question, mate, what would you say was the one of your biggest disappointments in this year's combine?
Oof, wow. But I mean, you've got Will Howard, who just threw up a stinker. I mean, I know we battered Buckeyes fans a little bit tonight.
In case you're wondering, we did cover Will Howard a lot on the UK Cowboys fans live stream yesterday.
I mean, Will Howard, it was not pretty. I mean, that was it was hard to watch. It was a tough watch to watch him throw the ball around that badly. But I think really a big one, because me and you have spoken highly of him. We've even put him in mock drafts more than once. Is offensive guard from Alabama, Tyler Booker.
Tyler Booker was definitely a big disappointment. Didn't look what you would actually see. It was on the stats and on the game film. Just looked very, it's as though he was jet lagged or something like that. Like, it just came off a plane and just decided to run. Like, I know it sounds harsh. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still a good player, but it's definitely left a sour grip and like a sour taste in your mouth, you know what I mean? So, but
all of it was bad.
Yeah.
All of it.
And so I know you just mentioned two, so I'll go for two as well.
Yeah.
So, and one is that my pet cat was not in attendance, which is defensive end Mike Green.
He was
not at the combine. I was
would have been nice to see him at least.
I really, especially when it comes to these smaller schools, you want your guys to go there to see how well they like you're just saying early on, you want to compete to see where are you at with these guys. And this guy is supposed to be like a first round pick.
Yeah. Like a top 20 pick.
If that's the case, go to the combine and justify it. So I'm quite disappointed in that. Finally, comes with no surprise, is basically he turns up to the combine but doesn't do anything. Shamir Sanders. I know he's Deion's son and stuff like that. I love Deion, but there's a difference. Like, you can be cocky and arrogant as a football player in multiple positions, but at quarterback, you cannot be, really. You can't. And there's a reason why now. PFF, I've now graded them as 47th overall. That's a big drop-off.
Mm. Again, going back to going back to what we just said, you want the combine in this vacuumed environment to prove to you the things that you've seen and the things that you've heard throughout the college season. You've heard in Colorado that teammates have complained about Sanders. They complain, Shadur. So you've heard that they've complained about him. They've heard that people say he can be hard to work with. Then he gets up on the podium and talks the way that he talks, and you go, it just reiterates stories that you've already heard.
Yeah.
So I agree with you, mate.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, is there a chance we're going to draft him? No. But at the same time, I still want him to get drafted and do well, obviously. But he's not doing himself any favors at all. No. He's actually jeopardized himself, in my personal opinion, massively. Just like Mike Green had, like, by not going to the combine. So, but yeah, but the big question, Mike, the big question for this week's show. Do you think the Cowboys will go defense in the first round?
Okay.
You talked about Jihad Campbell. You talked about a few other players, like Barron, example.
Yeah, I like all of those. I even like some of the guys we haven't talked about, Walt Nolan. I like all of these guys. But here's something I did notice. In the formal interviews was a very highly valued wide receiver from Arizona Tech, McMillan.
Oh man, if he's at 12, we're taking it. I'm sorry. Like the, I think the trade back would be too much to
rich. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it would have to like it really depends who's available at 12. Like if McMillan's
true. You gotta take everything into context. Yeah.
Like who the team that is trading up to get come up to take that 12 spot and who they're likely to draft. Who are they trying to jump ahead? Mm-hmm. Essentially.
Tech McMillan would be great, I think.
Even Luther as well. Like
Luther's fine.
But I think if we were to trade back and Luther's there, I think that would be the pick, if I'm being honest.
Mm. But like if Luther Burton's there at 12 and they trade back, I'm kind of like, I get it. I'd be like, okay.
I would totally get that. I would not be upset
I get it. Yeah. And then he's not available at what pick. You go, oh, like, okay. But if Tet is there and they trade back, I'd be like, no. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is like Tet McMillan falling to the Cowboys at 12 was the equivalent of when CeeDee Lamb fell to the Cowboys all the way down to pick 19.
The fact is that other wide receivers won before him as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation that the Texas wide receiver you just talked about, Matthew Golden, might actually go higher than McMillan and Luford altogether. So, and even when we're talking about likes of offensive line, Membo is now like moving up the ranks. He's beaten the likes of Will Campbell and all these other guys, and rightly so. He impressed the hell out of everyone. He had a fantastic combine.
But it
showed us where a lot of things to consider. Like, if there's one thing we just like the dream scenario would be trade back, get more picks, and really stock up just to ensure that we can actually like get the players that Schottenheimer wants. Like, I just think even though we've got 9 picks this year or something like that, I still don't think it's going to be enough. I really don't.
Well, not in terms of that, you know, you think every pick is a lottery ticket. So get more tickets.
Yeah, if we can pick up maybe an extra second or extra third and a fourth or something like that, if we can get a third and a fourth and swap first round draft picks, I would be very happy with that. But if we get pick up an extra second on top of that, I'd be very happy with that as well.
Because you can work around little
things. We can work around that.
Because
with second round picks, they are likely to start. They are likely to make an impact. So, but you can do a lot with it. You can drop back, get this is going to be my final thing before we finish up this show and before we pay off for the ads. But if we were to trade back and go down to maybe 20th or something like that, and I think that would be the perfect opportunity to actually go for running back is at 20. And that's where
That works.
Amarian Hampton would be the pick, I think, personally.
That works too if you traded back and you got some extra
points. And I'm sorry for our viewers who are on the Genty train. Sadly, I'm not. I'm not Genty is a good player, but it's to me at 12, it's too rich. Don't get me wrong. I think Genty might actually get picked before that anyway. I think the Raiders will pick him.
Yeah, I hope so. Because all I will say is I've done a scouting report on him, which is on Blogging the Boys, and in the major negative in him is go watch him versus Penn State. Mm-hmm. If you think he's a really good running back, just go watch him against Penn State this year, and you will be watching it, scratching your head, wondering why this dude is averaging 3 yards a carry, has no touchdowns. He's put the ball on the ground twice and lost the fumble to the opposition, to Penn State. You watch that game, it is a horrific game. And you go, And you're like, well, that doesn't match up what I've seen throughout the season, simply because throughout the rest of the season, he's played Mountain West teams. Then he goes up against a stout defense and fails.
Yeah,
to me, that puts a huge question mark on everything that you've just seen.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Okay, right, so we'll be back in one moment. We have to go and pay the ads. So we'll pay the ads, we'll come back and say our final goodbyes for the end of the show. So we'll be back with you in one moment.
The World's Team Podcast is brought to you by Cowboys Experience, the ultimate Cowboys experience with stadium tours, meet and greets, tailgating, game tickets, and much more. For more information, please go to www.cowboysexperience.com.
Yeah, be sure to go and check out cowboysexperience.com. Use the discount code WorldsTeam2024. I know the discount code is from last year, but still, it's still valid. We will get that updated from our sponsors. So, and speaking of which, with our sponsor, me and you, Mike, are going to be at the Dallas Cowboys game for Thanksgiving. So, and you were talking about, like, say, giveaways and stuff like that. So,
yeah,
if you're going to be in town in Dallas for the Thanksgiving game, be sure to check us out at the Cowboys meet and greet. We're going to be there. We're going to be interviewing people. We're going to be engaging with the players, get their insight, and do a little bit of world knowledge with them and stuff like that. And it would be great to actually meet you guys. So, and we'll hand out some free stuff out. So there we go.
Why not?
Yeah. So, but yeah, but that is the end of this week's show. We will be back next week. We do have some guests lined up coming soon. And yeah, so just check the space, go and check out our socials, which I will show on the screen below. If you're on Spotify and Apple Music, it's the.worlds.team on Instagram, the_worlds_team on X, and here on YouTube it's just the World's Team. So be sure to go and check us out. But yeah, before we do go, Mike, please tell everyone where everyone can find you on social media.
You can find me on Twitter or X at Kenfig Cowboy. That's Kenfig with a K, Cowboy with a K. And you, Mr. P.
You can find me at I Am P-Stu on X and Instagram. But yes, folks, like I said, we'll be back here next week covering more information about the draft, the more latest news when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. And yeah, we hope you have a wonderful weekend. And as always, go Cowboys. And remember, it's not just America's team. It is the world's team. See you guys next week.
Listening to the World's Team Podcast. There's no other team like it in the world. Nothing more electrifying than the Dallas Cowboys. And we're here to prove it. We bring in fan groups from Germany, France, Brazil, the UK, Canada, Japan. We're everywhere, baby. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find us on Instagram at the.worlds.team, on Twitter at the_worlds_team, and on YouTube at the World's Team. How about them Cowboys?
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
See you next time.